Well, there are some more words pointing us towards the glory which lies before us when we will sing with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. And as one of the other hymns says, what a gathering of the ransomed that will be. Praise God for that. Now I have a text for you this evening, and it is 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19. Behold, the situation of this city is pleasant as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the land is unfruitful. Now, when that was originally said, it was not talking about Bangor-on-Dee or Bangor Isacoyd or even Bangor Monachorum. It wasn't talking about this place. But I think that we can look at this place and say that some of that verse is true. I will read it to you again. Behold, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the land is unfruitful. Why is it such a pleasant place to be here in Bangor? Well, think of the fact that we have religious freedom. We can preach on the street. We can distribute literature. We can hold meetings. We can teach our children the faith. And we have been able to do that in Britain since 1687, the Declaration of Indulgence, when religious liberty was granted. And I used to go and speak when I was working for the Albanian Evangelical Mission at a little Baptist church in Smeatharp, which is in Devon. And the date over the door is 1688. And it was still a good church to be well worth going to. Smeatharp, 1688. The year after the Declaration of Indulgence, when religious freedom was given, the situation of this city is pleasant. We're not going to get the police coming in and breaking up the meeting and carting us off to prison. Now, not only do we have religious freedom, we have a Bible. I read it each morning, and God sometimes speaks to me through it. And I believe even when I don't sense him actually speaking personally to me, I still believe he's teaching me and nourishing me. We have a Bible in our language. We weren't always allowed to have that. Think of John Wycliffe, who suffered so much for translating the scriptures into English, he and his followers, known as the Lollards. We have glorious hymns to sing, wonderful hymns. We have lots of Christian literature, lots of Christian books. I like reading them. I don't only read Christian books. I don't want you to think that I'm some kind of a religious nut who doesn't think about anything else except religion. But I do read Christian books, and they do speak to me and teach me and bless me. All of these things are religiously pleasant. And many towns and villages have suitable premises, such as this lovely chapel, for religious worship, for evangelism, for fellowship, for the breaking of bread. Sadly, not as many as there were when I was young, because they've been selling them off all over the place, regrettably. I've got photographs of the chapels where I've preached in this area and in Cambridgeshire and in Kent and in Hampshire, the different places I've spent time. Lots of them are now closed down and are houses or maybe not even there at all, demolished. But still, a lot of places have suitable premises, and you certainly do. And so we look at the first part of that statement. Behold, the situation of this city is pleasant. And let us not only forget the wonderful countryside there is around, it's not far away, for the Sandstone Ridge, the Clwydian Hills, the Berwyn Hills, all that lovely greenery between here and Whitchurch and Overton. There's a lot of lovely beauty, rivers, hills, fields, beautiful. The situation of this city is pleasant. Now they went on to say, but the water is bad and the land is unfruitful. And James in the Bible has something to say about bad water. So I'm going to read that to you from chapter 3 in verses 11 and 12 of James. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh water and brackish? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Now, I went out for a walk on the hills near Llangollen one very warm, sunny day, and I filled up my water bottle, and I forgot to take it with me. And the sun was blazing down. And if you walk all the way round, it's about 9 miles. And 9 miles in hot sunshine up in the hills is quite a long way. However, I had on my fez, which I got in Kosovo, and it's so constructed that you can turn it upside down and use it as a bowl and drink from it. And there are springs and streams on the mountains. And as I came to a stream, I was able to put water into my fez and have a lovely, cold, refreshing drink. But what if some of the water coming out of it had been brackish and some had been salt and some had been fresh? I wouldn't have been able to drink it, would I? You can't have good and bad coming out of the same spring and flowing in the same stream. And that's what James says. And what they say here to the prophet is, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad. Now, it also says that the land is unfruitful. And I have to say that there are pulpits in Wales and England where there are two sorts of teaching coming forth. There are some preachers who deny the deity of Christ. There are some who will say that he did not give his life for your sins at Calvary. There will be some who tell you that he didn't even need to do that, because you can be good enough by your own effort. There are some who will deny the teachings the scriptures tell us about the future for the believer and the future for the unbeliever. Resurrection to glory or resurrection to judgment. And so people come, and the next week they will hear something completely different. And then the next week they might hear something completely different again. And there's a different kind of stream flowing from some pulpits in this land. And it goes on to say that the land is unfruitful. And I believe that one of the reasons why there is so much decline in the church is the fact that there is inconsistency. The Bible says somewhere else, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? And there are uncertain sounds. I'm not talking about the style. People can be charismatic, they can be very traditional, they can be very modern. I'm not talking about the style. What they hear about Jesus and about God and about themselves and about Calvary and the atonement. We need to feed people on the strong word of the truth. Now, some years ago, I started to look at chapel closures. And having been a Baptist minister, I started to look at Baptist closures. And I noticed that in Wales, the Baptist Union was losing about 1,000 members a year. And yet they say that the most rapidly declining denomination are the Methodists. And so we see that the land, though pleasant in so many ways, has become unfruitful. And there are many towns and villages now in England and in Wales with no gospel witness in their midst. But Christians commute to town or somewhere else in their cars. The local people are growing up without a vibrant and lively and meaningful Christian community in their midst. The situation is pleasant, but the land is unfruitful. And in many churches which do remain, you get the feeling that there is no longer any hope. And in fact, people say this. There will never again be a revival, they say. They might as well put it in the words of Scripture and say the Lord's arm is shortened and it cannot save. It will never happen again. And they've given up hope and they're clinging on until the last number of them die away or they get too small to maintain their chapel or their cause. Now, I think that's the situation in England, Wales. And look what we read in verse 21. Then he went to the spring of water and threw salt in it and said, thus says the Lord, I have made this water wholesome. God, praise his name, God could heal the situation in Wales and heal the situation in England. I'm quite convinced of it. In fact, I wonder if there would be much point in preaching if I wasn't convinced of it. If there were a touch from God, the situation could be reversed. We would need, obviously, the consistent delivery of the truth, not an uncertain or mixed sound. But I believe that dying churches can be revived and have been revived. One of the churches that I used to go to when I was working for the mission was so prosperous in numbers that it used to have its morning service twice because they couldn't get everybody in the church. Now, until that situation turned around, the church got down to one member. And this lady used to go and pray by herself if she didn't have a preacher come and preach to her. And then she called a minister. You see, Baptist churches can do that. They can call their own. They don't have to bother about anybody else. They can call their own minister. So I suspect that he got a secular job in order to finance his being there. I don't think she was a wealthy lady. And some wag said, well, if that minister splits the church, he'll be had up for murder. It only had one member, didn't it? And he began to work and he began to tell people about Jesus Christ. And as I say, when I went, they couldn't fit everybody in. And there's a church in Bradford-on-Avon that I used to go to, a thriving Baptist church. I believe it got down to two members. Well, they called two ministers. They thought we're going to really have to have a lot of work put in. And again, of course, they could get a secular job if they needed, or there may have been men of private means. I don't know. But the point is that that church had also become a thriving church. And those are two large examples. They're not all as stark as that. But churches can be revived. And where the church has died out, which it has in many places, regrettably, new churches can be planted. But it must be by the touch of God. Look at verse 15. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him over against them, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And you will remember that he had prayed for a double portion of the Spirit which rested upon Elijah. You and I, and no minister, however clever and gifted and how wonderful a leader he is, no one can do it unless the Lord builds the house. Those who build it labour in vain. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But when there is a touch of God, it can be done, and in places it has been done. And when God poured out his Spirit in Wales in 1904, there was a huge thrust of forward movement in the churches. Now, John chapter 3 and verse 8, Jesus says this: the wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. It has to start somewhere. And you don't know where it's going to come from, you don't know where it's going to go, but it has to come, and it has to be the Spirit of God. And I say this, there is no reason why it shouldn't be Bangor-on-Dee, or Wrexham, or as it was in 1904, Rosslyn-Cregog in the north, and Lochar in the south. But it must be the Spirit, the wind of God, blowing where it wills. It must start somewhere. And it could be here. Christians filled with God's Spirit and walking with God. But when we go back to verse 9, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, let me inherit a double portion of your Spirit. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. Now I have to be honest, I wonder how I would respond if God sent revival to North Wales. Would I cringe back and say, oh, but Lord, it's nice and comfortable. You know, I get the little congregation of 6 or 12 people, sometimes maybe more than that. But it's quite comfortable and cosy and it's ticking over nicely. And Lord, I don't want my life turned upside down. Prayer meetings, evangelism, the Spirit of God falling on the meetings. I don't know, because it hasn't happened. All I can say is, if it does happen, there will be people who allow themselves to be filled with God and to walk with God. You have asked a hard thing, but it can happen. And I think that you and I, and all the churches in the Wrexham area, and all the churches throughout Britain, however blessed or however languishing they may be at the moment, we need to pray for an outpouring of God's Spirit, and there's no reason why we shouldn't say, Lord, let it start here, and let it happen in my life, and help me to be willing to be part of what you do when you come in glory. We need to tell society about Jesus, and society needs to come to know him.